The NHL postseason is underway. That means it's time to stop talking about headshots and concussions and start talking about headshots and concussions. This is the Sports Radio Jax. Welcome to another loaded episode of the Jax. Coming up over the next 60 minutes, Rafi Torres, Richard Branson, Mike Leake, Mrs. Carrie Underwood, Mr. Carrie Underwood, and what's left of the New York Knicks. As always, you can listen to us live at centennialondemand.com/centennial-internet-radio, or you can download the podcast by clicking on Centennial Internet Radio. You can also hit us up on Twitter at SportsJax. As always, I'm Josh Lewinberg. He's still Aaron Karolnik. And, of course, he's still Jimmy Mangos.
Always will be Jimmy Mangos.
Till death do us part, Jimmy Mangos. How's it going?
We should probably sign some sort of marriage certificate to make sure we all, you know, stay faithful to one another.
Yeah.
What do you think of that, Jimmy?
I think it's tremendous. Great idea.
Tremendous.
Yes. What's wrong with tremendous?
That's a little bit too much. That's going too far.
It would be good.
You don't like tremendous?
I don't think that's the appropriate word in this case.
Tremendous isn't used enough.
Yeah. I'm bringing it back.
In modern day society, really.
Like, Hanley Ramirez is a tremendous baseball player. Mike Stanton, tremendous baseball player. I don't know if a marriage between the three of us.
Those two tremendous batting averages are combined less than Matt Kemp, I believe, at this point.
Yeah.
Well, who actually is tremendous on my tremendous fantasy team.
So the keyword today is tremendous, I guess.
That's the word of the day?
Yeah.
The tremendous Radio Jax. Tremendous Sports Radio Jax.
We should have words of the day.
Yeah, we should.
What was that word I made up last week?
I don't know.
I think it was encumbrances.
Oh, yeah, encumference. So that's definitely not a word.
I just combined encumbrance and circumference.
Incompetent.
And is that describing myself?
No, Jimmy Mangos.
Okay.
So tremendous is the word of the day, right?
Perhaps uncircumcised might be the word of the day.
Oh. Who are you pointing at here?
More pleasurable, right, Jimmy?
In many ways, yes.
When you get older.
When you get older, it's still very pleasurable.
When you get older, you have enough problems as it is, so why not pile on
top of
it?
Wait a minute, what do you mean? What kind of problems?
All sorts of problems.
Like, such as?
Well, how old are we talking here?
30s, 40s? Late 30s, early 40s?
No, that's not that old. We're talking like 50s. At that point, if I could even get it up, I'll be impressed.
I don't think I'll be alive by then. I'll probably have a heart attack or something some sort.
If you make it past 50, I'll be shocked.
That'd be awesome.
Anyways, in the news this week, I love how we do this now. We're just reading newspapers here. That's our role here on the Sports Radio Jax.
Got it. We're journalists. We need to stay in touch with everything going on in the news today.
You're journalists.
This week on the New York Times.
Journalists!
This week on the New York Times Radio Jax. Having lost a bet, British billionaire Richard Branson will serve as an Air Asia stewardess. I guess it would be steward. Is that the correct terminology?
Stewardess, yeah.
Steward.
On May 1st. In order to comply with the airline's grooming standards, Branson is required to shave his legs. So for it's 400,000 pounds.
Slightly
which is
different.
Which is how much?
I believe it's about $650,000 US.
Correct. Or best offer, of course. You can bid to shave his legs with all the proceeds going to charity, of course.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah, it's a pretty good deal for the person showing out the $650.
So to recap, dude loses a bet, agrees to have his leg shaved, and assuming that he's a man of his word, which as far as I know he is, he's going to go through with it without any bitching or complaining.
What are you looking at me for?
You get where I'm going with this here, Jimbo?
I guess a little bit, kind of, yeah. What, you want me to dress up and shave my legs and dress up like a stewardess? Is that what you're trying to say?
That actually wouldn't be bad. Again, Jimmy Mangos will be racing George Fidel on May 12th. He has agreed to have his head shaved, bald.
Shaved?
If and when he loses. Shaved. But not when. No, you're going to win. You're going to win, Jimmy. You got shaved. This.
You are going to win. We actually saw a promo video that George shot.
I didn't see it, but...
If you saw it, George's running style is very awkward and... I'd be surprised if you could even make it.
Maybe he's trying
meters.
To psych me out. Maybe he did that on purpose.
He recorded at an a promo with epic music and him running essentially in the snow. It's actually pretty cool. And the sequel, the second promo, is the same epic music with you sitting on the couch and eating Cheetos.
Wow.
I'm surprised you agreed to pose in that
Well, those promo. Were very delicious Cheetos, so.
You like Cheetos?
Yeah, I like Cheetos. I'm more of a chips guy, though. But
like, what kind of chips are your go-to?
What kind of chips? I like, you know, Pringles, you know, regular kind. Yeah.
How about Sweet Chili
or
Heat?
Or Ruffles, All Dressed, my favorite.
Oh, Sweet Chili Heat is fantastic. No. Yeah. It's tremendous. No,
the best is Miss Vicky's...
Uncircumcised.
What's that one? The Miss Vicky's...
Miss Vicky's Uncircumcised?
What?
Whoa, guys.
It's a new flavor.
You're getting out of hand here, okay?
Salty. Oh, okay. Sorry. We'll edit that out. Yeah. We'll edit that out. Coming down in 3, 2, 1. Richard Branson is shaving his legs. And, like, the moral of the story, Jimmy... is he shaving the legs completely?
So
there's not going to be stubble. It's not going to be a one. It's going to be shaved completely.
But that's different. This is legs. How often do you look at a guy's legs?
Anyways? Would you let George shave your legs before you let him shave your head?
Yeah, definitely. Why not?
All the way up too. We're talking.
I don't care.
We're talking bikini line here.
My dad's legs are hairless. So he doesn't shave his legs, but
your dad shaves his legs.
No, he just doesn't have any hair on his legs for some odd reason. But. My legs are pretty hairy. You want to see? Look.
That's not bad.
Hold on. Let me see. Put your legs up.
Should we compare? Like, I'm pretty disgusting. Look at that.
That's kind of even almost.
You're like a beast of leg hair.
I'm not a hairy guy, so my chest's not hairy.
I got a healthy dose of Jew. That's what that
is.
Yeah,
likewise.
Yeah, aren't Jews usually hairy? So I'm surprised you're not that hairy.
I thought Greeks were hairy too. Or is that just the women?
Only the Greek women are hairy.
Yeah, the fat ones, you know. Usually comes from their back, the hair.
Oh, God. This is a sports show, isn't it?
And the sometimes they have the mustache, too.
I like that. Not a Jim Taddy mustache. That's a little bit too thick. Like those, but like,
say the grandma look, you know, the old grandma with the nasty mustache, the whiskers.
That's kind my of favorite look.
Leave Granny alone.
All right, so...
So you're shaving your head is what we're getting at here.
If I lose, yeah. If you lose. Shave it.
Bald.
I said shave it.
George Bald. Has already purchased the shaving cream, Jimmy.
Whoa, it was like $5.
The Gillette Fusion Pro Glide.
I had that
turning shaving into gliding.
I got that for my face. I use that
all the
time.
You know
what?
You
got
to look at it this way. Perhaps, you know, Brent Furtney is a Gillette spokesperson. Alexander Ovechkin, Gillette spokesperson. Jimmy Mangos, Gillette Sports.
Did you see Brett Furtney with Ovechkin the other day?
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
You could tell he was nervous.
Shoutouts to B_Furt if you're listening, which I'm sure you are. If you're not, then you're a loser. So.
Don't follow him.
Why?
No, follow me.
JLou_Sports instead. Maybe Aaron_Korolnik if you must.
We're still waiting for Jimmy Mangos to get on Twitter. Because
isn't Brett Furtney your coworker,
please do
though?
It. Listen, anyone who is listening to this show right now, so Mom, Mrs. Korolnik, maybe a few other randoms, the janitor at the school, hopefully.
The janitor
please,
will be
who is this
girl?
Please, I'm just asking that somebody, one of you, Jimmy, focus. Such a distraction. Please, somebody, start a petition of some kind. Facebook if you must, and I hate Facebook petitions.
Yeah.
Get Jimmy Mangos on Twitter.
One day.
Hashtag Jimmy Mangos.
Charlie
Sheen. Wait a minute.
Got it.
How about this? If I lose a bet, I get Twitter.
Yeah.
No. How about you just do that anyways and stop being difficult?
Okay.
Charlie Sheen got 1 million Twitter followers in 24 hours. How many Twitter followers do you think Jimmy Mangos could get in 24 hours?
20 million.
Probably like 10. Everybody in the sports journalism.
I'll take the under on 20 million, but maybe over 10.
Maybe two, just you guys.
Yeah, that's pretty much all who's interested. Stephen Brunt would follow you as well.
Stephen Brunt. He's a sweet guy.
Aaron Korolnik did a roundtable with Stephen Brunt today. That went pretty well.
Yes, it was a great time. Me and Steven really bonded, and I'm looking forward to many more fruitful discussions with him.
Fruitful, huh?
Fruitful.
What do you say we take this fruitful discussion to the NBA playoffs right now? How does that sound?
I love it.
It sounds tremendous.
It is.
Have you been more impressed with the NBA playoffs, or have you been more excited by the NBA playoffs than the NHL variety?
See, I love the NBA. I always have, I always will, but there's something about the NHL playoffs that tickles my fancy every single year. I don't care what the scores are.
Tickles your fancy, okay.
Yeah, it tickles my fancy. Is something wrong with that?
It's just weird.
No, it tickles my fancy. But I just love the NHL playoffs more so than any other playoffs in any sport. And it's just something that I'm always going to love.
Jimmy, I'm not going to ask you the question because it's a waste of our
probably
time.
Probably biased.
And we've already wasted enough time on Richard Branson's legs. So, biggest upset in game one of the NBA playoffs.
Has to be Lakers and Spurs losing their first game at home.
Does it?
Choose one.
Choose one.
I have to say the Lakers, because everybody picked the Lakers to sweep the Hornets, right? And the Hornets came into the playoffs looking awful, and Chris Paul just looked amazing in Game 1, and I'm excited to see Game 2 where it leads. So I have to say it's the Lakers, the first game.
Chris Paul was fantastic.
He was.
And the team's been hit or miss all year, speaking on the Hornets. They've had some big winning streaks, winning 8 in a row to start the season, 10 in a row in, when was it?
I don't know. January?
January, I believe.
They finished the season in a week, though.
That's what I'm saying. They've been really good at times, but they've also been really bad at times. You never know which Hornets team you're going to get. But credit to the organization, being run by the NBA, of course, for going out, making some small under-the-radar trades during the season, but they played dividends big time in that first game with Jarrett Jack coming off the bench strong and Carl Landry filling in for David West.
Yeah, those guys are doing great. It's always good to see former Raptors thriving in situations that they're more suited for. It's pretty obvious that Jarrett Jack and Marco Bellinelli aren't going to cut it as frontline go-to players, which to some extent they were expected to with Toronto. But Jarrett Jack's a backup point guard. He's a guy who plays best when he's playing 20 to 25 minutes a game, and he's showing that in his playoff role so far.
How about Trevor Ariza in his playoff return to L.A. going 2 for 13.
Sounds about right.
In 39 minutes.
That's how Trevor Ariza treated me during this year in fantasy, so I got rid of him, and that field goal percentage is just atrocious with Trevor Ariza.
Now, congratulations, New Orleans Hornets. You won your game. You won game one, and we've talked about you for probably longer than we would have if that game turned out any other way, because they're not the story here. The story is the defending world champion, L.A. Lakers. Jimmy, should they be concerned about the performance in Game 1, or lack thereof?
I don't think so, because you know the Lakers usually have a slow start. I mean, we saw last year against the Thunder, I think they lost the first game too, and they won that game, that series in 6. But they could turn on just as easily, just like that, and don't be surprised they win the next 4 and win in the series in 5.
It's true, but I'd be a little concerned about the health of Pau Gasol. That's the guy who's been banged up towards the latter half of the year, and it's been showing. He's been hobbling a bit, been seen grimacing quite a bit. So the health of Gasol is obviously a huge factor for Los Angeles, and if he's not 100%, they're going to have some issues down the road, but obviously they will advance past New Orleans.
The front court looks soft. Ron Artest showed infinitely more toughness than either Gasol or Bynum, and going into the series, the big advantage that the Lakers had over the New Orleans Hornets is their superior front court, as well as their superior depth, which also didn't really show itself off in the first game. I tend to agree with you. I was shocked New Orleans even won a game in this series, to be honest. But Lakers in 5 or 6.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Is that fair to say?
I'd be a little concerned about someone guarding Chris Paul. Derek Fisher looked very inept. They had Pau Gasol switched out on him once and just got embarrassed. So I think you might have to see Kobe switch on Gasol, on Chris Paul. But after that, I wouldn't be too worried. The Lakers are a proven squad, and I'm sure they'll get it done.
So Jimmy Mangos impressed with the upset in Game 1 of Lakers versus Hornets. What about the Grizzlies defeating the San Antonio Spurs in Game 1?
Well, the Spurs were missing Manu Ginobili, which is obviously a huge loss. And if Ginobili's in there, it could be a very different game. But it still speaks to the impressive nature that Memphis has displayed all year, even without Rudy Gay, who's probably their best player. The big men up front, Marc Gasol and Zach Randolph, played huge against guys like Duncan, and that was the difference in the game ultimately. And it's gonna be interesting to see San Antonio bounce back, especially if Ginobili's not in the lineup.
Is Zach Randolph the most underrated player in the league? But I think an even more ridiculous question might be, is he the best power forward in the league?
No, he's not.
I think it's a lot closer than people think.
He's a great scorer. He's one of the best scorers in the league from that spot, and he can pull down some boards as well, but he doesn't contribute enough on the defensive end, and I think that certainly hampers his case for being
what he's done with his career, changing his image, changing his game almost, has been fantastic to watch. And most people don't get to see enough of it because of where he plays. But regardless of what happens in this series, if Randolph is not the most underrated player in the league, or at least the most underrated big man in the league, maybe his teammate Marc Gasol is doing something that his brother Pau could never do, winning a playoff game with the Memphis Grizzlies.
It's true. Marcus Gasol is a guy who brings it every night. He never takes nights off. He's a hard worker. And that's something that can't be underrated in today's game, guys who give it their all like that and who are constantly willing to crash the glass and block shots and dive for loose balls. And that's what Gasol brings to your team. And that's a very valuable component
for Memphis. I'm concerned with their small forward position. Sam Young, you can't really go to that guy when it's a big situation during the game. And especially their bench. They have no bench at all. So I don't see it. Who's name someone from their bench.
Let's talk about the depth, actually, while we're here. Because we were talking about underrated, smaller moves at the trade deadline when we were discussing New Orleans. Memphis went out. They got Shane Battier back in Memphis after losing Rudy Gay. And he was big in game one.
Game-winning shot.
4 for 5, I believe. 2 threes. The one three-pointer, as you mentioned, was the game winner. Great defensive player. Solid shooter. He's not going to blow you away, but he's going to play a solid brand of basketball. And is this not a move that was made at the trade deadline that could put Memphis over the edge at this point?
I don't think so. I mean,
you're not a Shane Battier fan?
He's a great defenseman. I don't like him as a scorer, though.
He's going to be president one day.
President.
Might be.
Really?
Yep.
Is that what he said? Trump's vice president.
Well, he did go to Harvard, right? Or Princeton or something like that?
Duke,
yeah.
But does he have, like, the mind? Really? Okay, never mind. I'm confused with somebody else.
But you look at what they gave up to get Battier. They gave up Hasheem Thabeet, who was second overall pick a few years ago.
Yeah.
I believe they gave up something else as well. So it speaks to the level of play that Shane Battier, that people think that Shane Battier can play to. And he's really showing that he's a glue guy. He keeps teams together on the offensive end, and he can chip in with some open threes as well, which ended up winning that game for
O.J. Mayo. Huh? How's he been playing?
Yeah.
He hit some big threes in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. He doesn't start, though.
Jimmy, you believe the Lakers have nothing to worry about. Do the Spurs have something to worry about here?
I think so. I mean, even looking in the regular season, these two teams match up well. I mean, I think they split the season series 2-2. And, just like Aaron said, they have injuries, especially Ginobili. Duncan was hurt for a while. We don't know if he's actually really healthy. And I'd be really concerned with the Spurs at this point. I mean, this series could go to 7, no doubt.
I have some concern with San Antonio, just based on the fact that they didn't play terribly in Game 1. Everyone did their job for the most part. Tim Duncan played well. Tony Parker, his shooting wasn't great, but he wasn't bad. I think that's fair to say. Richard Jefferson had the shot at the end of the game that could have won it. Could have tied it. It was a good look, right? The team needs Manu Ginobili. That much is clear. But then Manu comes back, and who's defending him? Tony Allen, one of the best defensive perimeter players in the league. So I don't know. I do think that the experience of the Spurs is going to win out in the end. If Rudy Gay was playing in the series,
different story.
Memphis wins it hands down, I think.
Yeah, I don't know. It'd be close. We got to remember San Antonio is a team that was at the top of the West, top of the league for the entire year. So this isn't a team that was just some kind of pushover. But that being said, they are a lot of these guys are getting up there in age, and they didn't come into the playoffs playing particularly well, which is certainly a big part of you gotta be playing well going into the playoffs. So I would say they are susceptible, but at the same time, I think the experience will win out, and they'll take out.
They won't go as far.
Six games.
They won't pass the second round, though. There's no way.
Yeah, I don't know. Depends who they run into.
The Thunder?
Mm-mm. They'll run into Portland still, so.
Portland? You still believe in that?
Let's talk about that, because experience is winning out big time in the first two games of that series so far with Peja Stojakovic, Jason Kidd, Dirk Nowitzki, finding the fountain of youth in Dallas versus Portland, and the team that everyone thought might be bounced in the first round in Dallas is proving everyone wrong so far.
Yeah.
Surprised?
I am surprised. I thought Portland was going to come out a lot stronger, but you see Kidd is averaging 20 points a game through the first two games, which is very surprising. You think that Andre Miller would be able to hold court there in that respect.
Guess how many times Jason Kidd went for 20-plus points this season?
Like once or twice.
Twice.
Didn't he hit 6 threes at one point?
20 points and 21 points in the season twice. And then had 24 in game one, and not a bad game in game two either, 18 points.
Yeah, I know. And that's pretty concerning as a Portland Trailblazers supporter, as I know you are as well, Josh. But I still don't think the series is over. No. I think that Portland has 2 games at home coming up that are going to be obviously essential for them to
It's funny.
Overcome a deficit. Yeah.
Because when these two teams play, it's always a long series. I remember at one point, Portland was up 3-0 in the series, and Dallas came back, but Portland ended up winning in the 7. These guys always have a crazy series every time they face each other. It always goes at least to 6 or 7.
Disco Dirk gets a bad rap, I think, as somebody who might not be a winner, somebody who might not come through in the clutch. But this is one of the best fourth quarter players in the NBA. Him and Jason Terry have the highest combined fourth quarter scoring this season, believe it or not. And we saw Dirk go for, what was it, 18 points in the fourth quarter in game 1, 14 points in the fourth quarter in game 2. So can we honestly sit here and say that Dirk is not a clutch player and won't get it done in the playoffs when we see him time and time again come through in the clutch in the fourth quarter?
It's one thing coming through the clutch in the first round, but more importantly for Dallas, who has title aspirations, as we all know, Dirk's got to get it done in second and third rounds and in series deciding games, which has been a little bit of a downside for Nowitzki in the past. But as you said, Dirk's been clutch so far, and that's all that really matters. As long as he keeps coming through when Dallas needs him, then they're going to keep winning.
We're talking about back in 06 when they got screwed by the Miami Heat and the officials when they should have won that title in 4 games. Remember that?
I do.
Yeah, and since then, the Mavericks have never been the same after that. I remember they lost in the first round to the Golden State Warriors.
Golden State, that was the Baron
Davis. And now
Davis.
Everybody's picking Portland because it's a sexy pick, and Mavs always, you know, choke in the playoffs. So
yeah,
I can see
amazing.
Why they pick Portland, but I like the Mavs in the series. I always did, even at the beginning.
That's a very bold prediction. See, I'm still sticking to my guns. Portland's going to overcome the deficit. They're going to take the 2 games at home, and they will win the series in 7 games.
Touche.
Oh, God.
You got to stick with Portland. I'm sorry.
I'm not jumping ship now. Portland in 7, but... I'm
wow,
not,
in Dallas? Wow, that's going to be tough.
I'm not confident. Not confident at all.
Well, I'll be here. I expect that soundbite to be run when Portland wins the series.
Two gentlemen who showed a lot of confidence in game 1, Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant, with very efficient lines, going for big numbers, not much in the way of depth as far as OKC in game 1. But they took it to the Denver Nuggets, who, of course, were without Carmelo Anthony, who they traded at the trade deadline. Is it just a lack of star power for the Denver Nuggets at this point? How can they win? How can they beat a team that feature 2 of the league's best young players when they're going to Kenyon Martin for a big shot at the end of the game?
Well, Denver's point guards, both Felton and Lawson, are injured right now. They're playing with sprained ankles, so I think that certainly has something to do with it. But in reality, I don't think it's very possible that nobody's able to beat Oklahoma City this year. This is a team that looks like it's come together at the right time. Westbrook and Durant are just straight up beasting right now. And if I'm the Lakers or if I'm the Spurs or the Mavericks, I'm terrified of Oklahoma City.
Game 1 was closely contested, so I'm going to give you a multiple choice question, Jimmy Mangos. I want you
go
to answer
ahead.
This.
Yeah.
The difference in game 1 that put OKC over Denver in the last couple minutes was A, the missed offensive interference call on the Kendrick Perkins basket
that
the NBA admitted was a missed call.
Right.
B, Denver's free throw shooting, 21 for 33. C, the fact that they don't have a go-to guy at the end of the game. Or D, other.
Would you say they missed 21 out of 33?
They shot 21 for 33.
There's your answer right there. I mean, in a close game like that, and we lost by 2 points, it comes down to that, making free throws. If you can't make your free throws, then it's going to cost you at the end. And I know everybody's talking about the interference, but there's still a minute left in that game. They're only down by 1 point during that span, so they still could have easily won that game, but I have to go to the free throws, definitely.
The officiating could have changed the outcome in that game, that's for sure.
Well, yeah.
Officiating had something to do with game 1 in Boston and New York as well. Is that a series that we're going to see closely contested as it moves on?
Yeah, I think so.
Boston's up 2-0.
Absolutely. Even if we saw it in the second game, New York was playing without Amari Stoudemire in the second half, playing without Chauncey Billups for the entire game, who's injured with an injury. And New York was still putting up a very good fight against Boston. So if I'm a Boston Celtics fan, I'm very, very wary of my team right now.
It's going to be tough to win in New York.
What's left of this New York Knicks team? We don't know a lot about Billups and about Amari's injury. For all we know, they could be back for Game 3. For all we know, when this podcast is available to be listened to, they could already be back.
Next week.
Yeah. But they can't, like, Carmelo was fantastic in game two. Carrying.
Especially one of the best playoff performances I can remember.
Absolutely. Going back to LeBron, what was it against?
Detroit?
It was LeBron against Detroit, yeah. That performance ranks among the best in playoff history, almost carrying
the
team
single-handedly.
Well, the
difference is you didn't get the win, so.
That would be a difference.
What, 42 and 17 right. boards?
Career high, career playoff high, 17 rebounds, six assists as well. I don't know who he's passing to.
Yeah.
Who was the guy that choked at the end, gave the ball away, and then Garnett took the ball and he called timeout?
I don't know. Jared Jeffries made a big basket at the end of the game.
Unbelievable bad
Jared
decision.
Jeffries.
There we go, Jeffries. It's a bonehead move. You know.
Jared Jeffries,
costing the game.
He made some big plays down the stretch,
too.
Yeah,
but that, at the end of the game where so much is at stake, then you can't do that. You can't give away the ball like that.
Listen, the Knicks were supposed to be a major, major challenge for Boston in the first round. And thus far, I got to say, even though the games have been close, I'm impressed with Boston. I think maybe people are jumping off the bandwagon a little bit too quickly here because, listen, they're still the big four. They absolutely are still the big four. Ray Allen was vintage Ray Allen in game one. He won them that game with a three-pointer at the end in the fourth quarter. Then you have Kevin Garnett winning this game, essentially. Rondo going for 30 points. Yeah. Paul Pierce, solid 20 points. All four of them have proved their worth so far in the first two games. And they're playing Boston Celtics' brand of basketball. They're low-scoring games. Defense is winning over in the end. To the Knicks' credit, they're not losing games because of their defense. But at the same time, this is the pace that Boston wants to play in. No?
Yeah, I think it is. But at the same time, they are the big four, but they're missing a big component of their defense, which was Kendrick Perkins, arguably the centerpiece in the middle. And I think that's going to cause him. Jermaine looked good in game one, but yesterday in game two, he was not the same player that we saw in the first game. So until they find that center in there who can be the linchpin of the defense, they're going to have some trouble.
7 days ago, 7 days ago, Jimmy Mangos said that would be the most exciting series in the first round of the NBA playoffs.
First two games were great.
I disagreed. I said the most exciting series will be Orlando-Atlanta.
Oh.
It's tied 1-1.
Yeah, but still. I mean, the first game was a blowout, wasn't it? And then second game was kind of boring.
Low scoring.
Yeah.
It's just fun to watch Dwight just dunk on
the
everybody.
Thing about the Knicks and Celtics is it keeps on going back and forth, and that's why I like to see
Yeah, but that might be over in five games, six
I
games.
I don't know. You got to go in New York.
Whereas, I believe Orlando-Atlanta is going to seven games.
Yeah.
I can see that.
I can see that.
The MVP of that series so far, most valuable player, is not, in fact, a player in my mind, but Larry Drew, whose strategy in defending the Orlando Magic, I believe, is utter brilliance. Not that others haven't tried it, but it's been executed in both games pretty much in that let Dwight Howard do his thing, keep everyone else shooting jump shots, contest three-pointers. Orlando has shot terribly from three in both games. And it worked in game one. It almost worked in game two.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. Larry Drew has devised a great defense to hold Orlando down, and it's really working wonders so far. Although it is a 1-1 series so far, so let's not get ahead of ourselves. Atlanta's not up 2-0.
Could have been easily 2-0.
It could, but you know Dwight is just an enigma. He's a guy who's like he has 19 rebounds in both of his games. He's averaging close to 40 points. Which is
46 in game one, 33 in game
two.
So
close to 40 points a game. So. Yep. Until they're able to maybe establish themselves, maybe not to slow Dwight, although that's obviously not the plan, but to allow Dwight to get off for 40 every game, and you got to either foul him some more, make him shoot more at the line.
Or get him frustrated maybe too, you know?
Yeah, get him frustrated, make him take some technicals, but obviously Dwight is that team, and as long as Dwight's getting off for all those points, it's going to be difficult to hold him down.
What kind of frustrates me is the fact that Joe Johnson, a player who is getting paid as much as he's getting paid, is the X factor in this series. And no one that's getting paid that much should be the X factor. But Jamal Crawford has been a boss the first two games. And Joe's got to earn his keep in this series. He's got to earn his money. He was great in game one, not so great in game two. And he's big for them in getting everyone involved and also obviously getting his own offensively.
Yeah,
he's going to be the difference.
Joe Johnson is he's their go-to scoring option. As much as you want to talk about Jamal Crawford and Al Horford and Josh Smith, Joe Johnson is the guy they're going to go to in the clutch. And if he's not coming through with big buckets when they need them, then they're going to be in some serious trouble.
the MVP of the NBA. Do we agree that it's Derrick Rose?
LaMarcus Aldridge?
LaMarcus what? Aldridge. I think it's time that we all just put aside our differences, come together, and agree that Derrick Rose has this thing.
Yeah, I think it goes without saying at this point.
What he is doing in Chicago right now is fantastic. It's tremendous, you could even say. It's tremendous. Because Indiana has brought their A game so far. They've surprised a lot of people in being involved in either of these games. But Derrick Rose has single-handedly put this team on his back. Not to say that Boozer wasn't great in Game 2. Noah's been great defensively.
Noah's been up and down.
Dang's been solid. But Derrick Rose, offensive.
Yep.
Can't make any threes, though.
What do you mean? No, 0 for 9 from behind the arc in Game 1.
He had a bad game. He had a lot of turnovers, too.
39-6-6.
That's a bad game?
No, obviously not, but
39-6-6 in Game 1. 38-8-6 in Game 2.
Yeah, well, you know what? Say what you will about Derrick Rose, but the team that will come out of the Eastern Conference this year, it's not Chicago.
Really?
It's Miami, boys.
Wow, 2 weeks
LeBron.
Ago.
LeBron.
2 weeks ago, you didn't agree with that.
Disagree.
You said Boston, didn't you, 2 weeks ago?
Oh, yeah, yeah. you know what? Boston or Miami, just not Chicago.
Why? Because two games, which they won and they played bad?
Yes, very much so. I just worry that Miami.
Game two, the Bulls turned the ball over 22 times. That was a season low where they matched the season against the Knicks. So I don't see that happening again. And they still beat the Pacers quite handily.
I actually completely disagree with the way that you're looking at these two games, Krolnick, because to me, yeah, Indiana's played great, which speaks to Indiana, if anything. It doesn't speak to Chicago, because Chicago's played their game. The fact that when the game has been on the line both nights and Derrick Rose has taken over and this team has done what Jimmy Mangos knows that they're capable of doing, the fact that they have wrestled both of those games from a young team that's playing with nothing to lose.
A young team that you called potentially the worst playoff team of all time last week.
That is correct.
So Indiana is not a good team. They're garbage. Obviously. I don't care what they've shown in the first two games.
Such first game, Hasbro went off. You would have missed a shot, the guy. You got to give.
I'm not going to judge a team by what they're doing in the first three quarters, even in the fourth quarter. The last 5 minutes. It's the last 5 minutes. A championship team, a team with an MVP caliber player, comes through in the last 5 minutes, and that's what they've done twice now.
I just feel that when you have a guy like Dwayne Wade or have a guy like LeBron James D up Derrick Rose for four quarters, and as long as they keep him off the free throw line, which is where Derrick Rose has been living for the past 5-6 months, if you're making Derrick Rose shoot three-pointers and shoot jumpers from 20 feet, Chicago's not beating you. Derrick Rose is going to take it to the rim, and he's got to draw fouls, and that's how they win their games.
I don't know what you're watching, but I don't think it matters who is on Rose at this point. They've thrown Danny Granger. Do you think LeBron James is a better defender than Danny Granger?
Yes.
I don't.
Even still, the strategy is to allow Derrick Rose to shoot and not to get the. You can't let him get to the line.
Because Noah's been playing horrible. Once Noah picks up the game, then you see the Bulls are going to be very trouble. They're going to give teams a hard time. Especially Boozer.
I think the Heat and the Bulls are destined for an Eastern Conference final. Or the Celtics. I still believe the Celtics.
I see Miami and
that's
going to
be
much.
A classic series. Classic.
Can't wait.
Didn't the Heat get a scare in Game 1 by the Sixers?
I'm hoping actually Jimmy Mangos and I have a bet that I have Chicago not
20 bucks.
Not beating Miami in the Eastern Conference.
They beat them three times already this season. What makes you think they can't do it four more times?
They've gelled. Miami has gelled, Jimmy. It's time.
Oh, two games against the Sixers.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It's time.
While we're all disagreeing with each other, let's bottle that energy, carry it over to a game that I like to call Are They For Real? And I don't actually like to call it that.
We're actually hoping for some Twitter submissions at SportsTrax. Hopefully you can come up with a better idea for this segment than we have so far. So,
but basically, we're going to go to the MLB for a few moments here. We're going to ask Jimmy Mangos and Aaron Krolnick.
Thank you.
We'll throw you in there as well.
Yeah,
why not?
May as well.
Are they for real? Cleveland Indians. They are 12-5 now. How is this happening?
Just had a great start.
Are they for real?
It's way too early to tell, especially. What do they say? You can't win a pennant in April, but you sure lose one, right? So
Fausto Camarona, wow. Josh Tomlin,
Carlos Carrasco,
Justin Masterson.
Oh, those are just all studs. Cleveland Indians are not for real.
No.
They will maybe finish third in the Central.
Wait a minute, Josh. Didn't you see last week the Orioles were for real? What happened? Lost like 8 in a row after that?
They won yesterday. They won yesterday, okay?
Now they're like in last place or second last.
A player on a bad team. Sam Fold. batting .368, 7 steals. Is he for real?
Sanford is not for real, I'm sorry to say.
He's just keeping the seat warm for Desmond Jennings?
Exactly. Desmond Jennings is going to be up as soon as that service eligibility thing runs out in June. You'll see Desmond Jennings manning left field for the Tampa Bay Devil Rays.
Love the bad players on the bad teams. Alex Gordon of the Kansas City Royals. Is he for real?
I think so. I mean, he was a second pick overall. It's about time he's finally
post,
doing
post,
something.
Post yeah. Type sleeper?
Post.
Just like Brandon Morrow.
An extra post?
Yeah, Morrow took a time for a while for him to finally produce. And now maybe it's time for Gordon to finally rise. I mean, he's still young. He's only like 26, 27.
So. Once a prospect, always a prospect. Yeah. It's hard to give up on players like that.
Exactly.
Now I'm going to ask AK this question. Lance Berkman, who hit 6 home runs against you last week.
Haunts my dreams.
We know he was once for real. Is he still for real?
Yeah, I think Lance Berkman is... I'm going to stop myself there. Lance Berkman's not for real. This guy is going to be injured any day now. He's an old man. He's brittle.
You will eat your words.
I don't think so.
You will eat your words.
Lance Berkman's going to hit about 18 home runs this year before he tears his labrum in his right arm, making a throw from... Is he left arm? Does he throw lefty? I think he throws... I don't know. It's a tough one. I can't visualize.
Looks like you have to watch some more
he's gonna get hurt.
Cardinals baseball.
Lance Berkman is going to get hurt. Knock on wood, hopefully.
Speaking of getting hurt, yeah. Howie Kendrick's finally healthy. We talked about post-hype sleepers. Yeah. Could this be one of them? He has 5 home runs already. His career high is 10.
Yeah, he's already halfway. Well, I think he'll come back to earth. I don't think it's for real. You'll see him slow down sooner or later.
This year's Ricky Weeks, maybe?
I've always said that Howie Kendrick has the potential to be a batting champion someday. This guy swings as sweet a stick as anybody, but... just another matter of staying healthy. Howie Kendrick has never proven that he's able to stay healthy, but if he were to stay healthy, I think he could. Ricky Weeks had 29 home runs last year. It's our boy Giannis.
Well, he's in his prime right now. He's
Giannis
27 years
Ricky
old.
Weeks,
so.
But Kendrick could hit like maybe 18 home runs and
maybe
provide a very, very solid batting average for LA.
How about Greg Hood's boy, Starlin Castro?
Greg has actually pledged to name his first child after Starlin Castro.
Starlin Hood?
Why does he love him so much?
Starlin Hood.
What's with his man love with Starlin Castro with Greg?
I don't know. It's a little worrisome.
Greg has a lot of
He likes his jewelry.
He has a lot of man crushes on a lot of guys, doesn't he?
Moving on. Coming up.
Oh, man.
Coming up, we'll play a fun game with Jimmy Mangos. He still doesn't know what we're playing. That's the fun of it. And we'll talk some NHL postseason. But first, the Mangos Minute. Hey, Jimmy.
Hi.
You want to talk?
Okay, let's talk.
Let's talk. What do you want to talk about?
Anything you
like. I don't care what you want to talk about. Okay. What we're going to talk about is Mike Leake.
Mike Leake.
Great. In bizarre fashion, Mike Leake of the Cincinnati Reds was arrested on Monday for allegedly stealing $59.88, I think that's American, worth of merchandise from Macy's department store. Jimmy.
Yeah.
Is there any history of theft in the storied tale that is Jimmy Mangos' life?
Well, let's see what I could think of right now. Nothing major. I mean, I stole a pack of gum or candy here and there at a convenience store when I was a kid. Sometimes I steal some pop cans or a drink at Pizza Pizza when I feel like the pizza is not that great. But the one time I can remember is I think I had to go way back in grade 4 when this one kid, his mom bought him a Game Boy for Christmas. And this kid always kept on bragging about his Game Boy, and he would never let me play with it. So one time when we were in class, and remember how we used to keep our backpacks and our jackets on the coat hangers in the hallway, and we stayed in class? So one time I went to the washroom, right? And I knew he kept his Game Boy in his backpack. So one day, I think it was a Friday, and I took his Game Boy, put it in my backpack, and lucky for me, school was already over, so he wouldn't know who stole it. And during that same weekend, I sold that Game Boy for $50, and I cleared all the evidence. And on Monday, the teacher's questioning who stole it, and I played a good face. I didn't, you know, show any mercy, and the kid was crying. But you know what? I got $50 off that Game Boy from that kid. But yeah, I kind of feel bad now. But what are you gonna do? You never let me play with it. That's what you get.
Come on.
just want to say the police have been alerted and they're on their way here. So this might be the end of the Jimmy Mangos reign of Centennial College.
Hey.
And what a reign it was.
I remember he had that game, Star Wars, playing. I wanted to play that game so bad on Game Boy.
You play some Pokemon?
No, not Pokemon.
You didn't play Pokemon?
Star Wars and Batman.
You played Pokemon, right, Josh?
No, absolutely not.
Are you guys serious?
Remember that little baby thing that you can control? It's like a Giggy thing?
The Tamagotchi?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, my God.
I still play with that.
Really?
No. You got to go home and feed it.
No, I have my mom looking after it during the day, so.
Now, Jimmy, do you like Charles Barkley? Are you a fan?
Yeah, I like Barkley. He's a funny guy.
One of my favorite things is on TNT when they play Who He Play For. That's, of course, where they shout out obscure, random NBA players, and Barkley has to struggle to figure out who's currently employing said loser.
Okay.
And then I realized that we have a character on our show who's just as polarizing as Charles Barkley, and we could be playing the same game. But why would we play the same game when we could play something similar but better and more hilarious? Right, Aaron?
Sounds like a great plan. I'm very excited.
You don't know what I'm doing.
No, I have no idea.
We're going to play a game that I call Who She Sleeping With.
Oh, my God.
Nice. Who She Sleeping
With. Sounds amazing. I'm very excited.
So I'm going to play a snippet of basically the work of a female celebrity. I want you to first identify who this lovely woman is, and then tell me who she's sleeping with.
All right, let's do it.
So, who she's married to, who she's seeing. Sound good?
Okay.
The janitor sounds is the first
fun.
One. Right?
Oh, my God.
I don't have her work on my Adobe audition yet.
Sneed this out of my mouth.
Hey, her name is Sandra, I think. Yeah, that's it.
She is lovely.
Sandra, yeah. Or Sandy. One of the two.
Sandy Gill?
No, it's Sandra then.
All right. Let's start off with an easy one. Potentially easy one, if you can identify who this is. Number one. You know who that is, Jimmy?
Britney Spears?
No.
Madonna?
No.
Cher?
Maybe this'll help you out a little bit. I'll tell you what I want, what I really, really want. No, tell me what you
want, what I you know. Really, really want. I wanna. Spice Girls.
And?
Ginger?
No. Really?
Oh, Posh.
Posh Spice is correct. Who's she sleeping with?
David Beckham.
Correct.
Hey,
one right. Hey. One for one. Yeah, Jimmy. All
right. Took a while to get
there. It only gets harder from here. All
right.
And that was pretty hard.
It was.
Number two. Who dat?
That has to be Avril Lavigne.
Avril?
I'm pretty sure it's Avril Lavigne. Avril, and no, it's not.
No?
No.
It's not her?
Incorrect.
Who the hell is that?
Is that a former Ottawa senator's wife?
Maybe.
Carrie Underwood?
No.
Oh, it's not?
No.
Oh.
Wow, I have no idea.
Is that, hold on, let me take a guess here. Kelly Clarkson.
Wow, you guys are really bad at this.
We don't listen to that kind of music.
We don't have younger sisters who enjoy such music.
That's Hilary Duff.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And who she's sleeping with.
Oh, yeah.
That hockey player.
I love Hilary Duff.
Dionfanouf?
Oh,
no. You guys are worse than Barkley.
I know who Hilary Duff's. She's Mike Comrie. Mike Comrie. Yeah,
correct. Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah.
All right. Number three.
This is a great game, by the way. I'm having a great time.
FYI, that was not Rebecca Black.
I was about to say that.
Although she has just as much right to be singing as Rebecca Black.
I was going to say Kesha.
No.
Damn it.
Is that Rihanna?
Nope. Oh, Rihanna's better than that. Please.
I'm just trying to think of athletes.
I know you hate Rihanna, but...
Yeah, she does have large legs.
Danny Minogue?
I'll give you a clue. I'll throw some clues in here because it seems like you guys are struggling.
Some clues.
Clue number one. She has a large something.
Rump?
Maybe.
Lady Gaga.
Just yelling out names now. Correct answer. Oh, you guys are terrible. Terrible.
How do you know all this, anyways?
Oh, I didn't know this music. This music's garbage. Kim Kardashian. Who she sleeping with?
She's
that Lamar Odom's biddy?
No.
That's the other one. Khloe Kardashian.
Kim Kardashian. I can name him like 30 guys. Probably.
Who's she currently sleeping with?
Humphries.
Correct.
Chris Humphries. Chris
Humping the Hump Man.
Before that was like Reggie Bush and.
Get it in, Hump.
Close. Oof. Okay, number four. This is an easy one to identify, I would hope. Really?
I have no idea. If you play some Dave Matthews songs, I'll probably
know. Why
are
they all girls? Like, no.
Because the game is called Who She's Sleeping With.
Oh, right.
Not Who's He's Sleeping With.
Is that, I don't know. I have no idea.
I figured you'd get that and you wouldn't get Who She's Sleeping With. It's Sierra.
Sierra.
Ooh.
Okay.
Sienna?
Sierra.
Okay.
You guys don't care for the pop culture much, do you?
Not really, no.
And, Matt Kemp? That's Rihanna, eh?
I'll give you a clue.
Buck Martinez?
He's an NBA player. He's currently in the playoffs. His health is currently in question.
Oh.
Is Shaquille that
Quentin Richardson?
Dante Cunningham?
Amari Stoudemire.
Hey, Amari.
Wait a minute. Who's Quentin Richardson dating? Isn't it Brandy? Or is that Jason?
Brandy, yeah, Brandy.
All right. Last but not least, because she's hot. And if you guys don't get this, you're off the show. We're calling Jim Taddy in here to do the rest of the show with me.
And Perry Lefko.
Yeah. Oh, God. Number five. The beautiful country voice of...
Was that Carrie Underwood?
That is Carrie Underwood. Who's she sleeping with?
Sergey Kostitsyn.
She wishes.
Mike Fisher.
Mike Fisher is correct.
Hey!
Ding, 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 ding.
I was going to say Jason Spezza. I don't know. I got a brain freeze.
You guys fail.
But, yeah, we epic fail. Hashtag losing.
But did you have fun?
It was probably the best 5 minutes of my life.
That's all that counts.
Aside from the 5 minutes I...
It was tremendous.
That's all that counts.
Let's stop there.
Mike Fisher has been tremendous in the postseason so far.
Yeah.
But no one's talking about Nashville. No one's talking about any team specifically.
Nice segue.
Because everyone is talking about concussions and headshots and suspensions. Why? Why?
I don't know. That's a good question. Well, it's because they're happening so frequently. It seems like you...
But this is the playoffs. Like, the regular season, I understand. Okay, there are distractions throughout the regular season. We can talk about issues that are happening within the league. But it's too much at this point. Postseason, and we're talking about headshots.
Well, until the discipline starts fitting the crimes, then we're going to continue talking about it because the debate rages on. Should Rafi Torres be suspended? Should guys like Chris Kunitz and Steve Downey have received longer suspensions? And who's really to say aside from Colin Campbell and the guys at the NHL head office? But, you know, it's just something that's going to continue to be part of the game and part of the discussion in the media until we take the proper measures to get it out of the game as a whole.
As much as I hate to do it, let's talk about the hit. Rafi Torres on Brent Seabrook. No suspension, obviously. And Torres is just coming off with a 4-game suspension for an elbow to the head of Jordan Eberle on April 5th. Rule 48 is being brought into question now. Did you know what Rule 48 was 2 days ago?
I think the meaning of Rule 48 changes every day, it seems. There's no concrete...
Apparently, it's defined as an illegal check to the head as a lateral or blindside hit in which the head is targeted and or the principal point of contact. There's also a little bit about the zone, apparently, in the back of the net, right?
Yeah, that's where that hit occurred with Rafi Torres.
So is this just like, is this the charging crease in the NBA where if your feet are in there, then it doesn't matter what's...
I guess it kind of is, but I would say it certainly appeared to me that Rafi Torres targeted the head of Brent Seabrook. And although Brent Seabrook did return to that game later, he did miss the game that occurred most recently in Game 4, which is obviously a huge loss for Chicago, yet they were able to triumph in spite of that. So I think the NHL is basing a lot of their decisions on the injuries that are sustained. If Brent Seabrook breaks his neck on that hit, Rafi Torres isn't playing another game in the postseason. But as it happened, Brent Seabrook did return, and I think that certainly came into the equation in the NHL decision.
Don't we have something more important to talk about, like Phoenix moving to Winnipeg with all this crap about headshots all season long we've been talking about? Or like,
it's what the media is.
There's so much going on. There's a postseason going on too, but we're talking about headshots.
I guess these players will never get it, I guess. Just keep on doing it and doing it.
So the hit was made, and then Chicago goes on to ravage the Canucks.
Yeah, ravage is a good word. I like that.
Ravage.
Word.
Tremendous ravaging.
Yeah.
Tremendous.
Was that is that going to be looked at as a turning point in the series, or
I don't think
Chicago
anyone,
just do?
Yeah, I don't think anyone expected Vancouver just to trample Chicago in four games. Chicago was going to win a game, maybe two. We'll see how it goes in game five, but I'd still expect Vancouver to come out pretty easily. If not taking game five, then taking game six.
I would like to
make
a prediction
Chicago.
And say Vancouver will come back and respond with a big game and kill Chicago in game five.
Yeah, I tend to agree. Although the return of Dave Bolin can't be understated, and especially if Brent Seabrook comes back. Bolin had 3 points, 4 points, 3 points in his return from a concussion.
I just can't see 2 years in a row a team down 3-0 come back again. You know?
Well, you know, just remember, look at last year. Philly came back from 3-0 deficit from Boston, so...
Very
but
rare.
I would agree that Vancouver just is too much firepower.
I think the team that can come back from 3-0 is the Coyotes.
You better hope so, Pierre.
Let's talk about the Coyotes.
Yeah, okay.
You're a Stanley Cup
finalist.
Finalist pick.
Is the Lightning? Oh my God, it's not going.
You want to retract that statement, Jim?
Yeah, did I say Coyotes? I think I said San Jose.
No, you said Tampa Bay and
really?
Phoenix.
Well, we'll go back to the tapes, but yeah, that's absolutely what you said.
Okay.
Question is twofold, Aaron. Is the swan song for the Phoenix Coyotes in Glendale a sweep at the hands of the Detroit Red Wings? So I'm asking you, will they be somewhere else next year, and will they be swept?
Wait a minute. Sorry. But you know what's funny? When Detroit swept the Jets, they moved to Phoenix. So maybe if they swept the Coyotes, they go back to Winnipeg. That's just bizarre.
I don't think any...
A little bit of irony there.
Yeah, irony.
That's a very interesting
statistic.
I don't
know statistic. If it's funny.
You're very well researched, Jimmy.
To me, it's funny. Yeah, I remember that, because when Winnipeg lost, he lost 4 games to the Red Wings, right?
Jimmy Mangos is the only person who knows more about the 90s in hockey than he does about the 20s in 2010.
No.
Wealth of knowledge you
Payback's
are.
Payback's a bitch, isn't it? Yeah.
That's fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, to answer your question, Josh, I think that Phoenix is not going to be swept. I think they'll take game four.
Ooh.
But after that, I would say Detroit will come out on top, unfortunately, as I did. Actually, you and I both had Phoenix advancing past Detroit, which is not looking so good at this point.
Yeah, about that. Mulligan.
You can't, we'll call a mulligan on that one. Maybe I'll call a mulligan on the Boston Bruins as well. Although.
Boston in seven.
I still like that call as well.
Boston in six.
Let's see, that's the Pete Stewart call.
Oh.
I like that too. Well, no, seven
games. It feels like when I see Montreal, I watch like 5 minutes, but they just can't do it under pressure at home for some reason. It's too much pressure for them to win at home. I don't know why.
Carey Price has had a great series, but he does have a history of faltering in Montreal in the playoffs. Wasn't great in Game 3. Boston's coming back and winning this thing. Is that what we're all saying?
Yeah, I'm on record for saying Boston in 7.
Especially if they play tonight?
No, I think it's only one game.
Well, if they win, Boston wins the next game, they're winning the series.
Again, the word tonight means nothing when this podcast
it's
will
true.
Be up and...
Yeah.
Hello, Phil Alves.
Get it done, Phil Alves. Get her done.
It's tremendous.
Yeah. Not so
Sorry,
much.
Sorry, I don't know why I used that.
Tremendous.
You want to sprinkle in some more tremendous.
I can't wait to go back and listen to how many times we said tremendous.
Yeah, we're going
to
have a tremendous
episode.
Count.
That was the word of the day, so.
Secondary word of the day? Not used as much.
What do you think? More times tremendous has been said this week versus how many times guys will be said when George Fidel joins us?
You
on the
know,
day of the
you
race?
You know, guys, I like to work out. And
he
I
says
have
that
awkward
a
running style.
I didn't notice that.
Listen, no. You leave George alone.
We love George. We love George.
All right.
George,
you leave him alone, but you don't leave his sister
with Tommy
alone.
Hansen.
Graziella.
Graziella.
Hello, Graziella.
Actually,
I assume she's a loyal listener now.
I'd like to alert everybody to our episode 7, or is it episode 8, on the Centennial On Demand page. Graziella Fidel actually has a comment. That's in support of Jimmy. So I guess the tables have turned there in the Fidel family.
If you go back to episode 6, I believe you'll see a comment from Malcolm Kelly as well.
Yeah. What did it say again? Absolutely amazing.
That's a very it's a very appropriate description of
don't
this,
impersonate
this
Malcolm, Jimmy. That's not very nice.
Think he's going to listen to this?
Not this far into the show, anyways. We can say we can say whatever we want at this point. Jimmy said bitch like 5 minutes ago.
Is that what he said?
You just said it right now.
No. But I'm allowed to say it. I'm allowed to say if I'm quoting you.
I'd like to
CRTC rules.
I'd like to say that a few episodes ago, Malcolm came to the studio and put his mouth on the glass.
Oh, he did it twice.
I think it's still there.
Has the janitor wiped that off yet?
She's too busy flirting with Jimmy.
Oh, nice.
Her two kids, 13 and 12. We learned a lot about the janitor today.
Boy and
a
girl,
I think let's just say whatever you want at this point in the show, and no one's.
I don't know why she asked me.
Only our hardcore listeners. Maybe Greg will listen this far.
Hey, Greg
Brazo.
Why wouldn't you let me wear your bracelets, Brazo? Greg?
John Brazo.
Oh, he's probably tuning in now live.
Shout out to the Toronto Observer's coverage.
Of course. Have you covered a game yet?
No, absolutely not.
Why not?
Shout out to the Toronto Observer's coverage of the NHL playoffs. Happy John Brazo. No one's listening, but.
Although, if you are posting your links on Facebook all the time after every game, I don't appreciate that. Although I do spam my Facebook friends enough with the sports.
Does that bother you?
No, I don't do it. I don't post on Facebook.
Yeah.
My game overs.
That's because your game overs are terrible.
No, my game overs are very mediocre, actually. But I do appreciate your concerns. All right.
So what else can we talk about?
Maybe let's discuss. Let's see.
What's tomorrow? Tomorrow's Thursday.
Tomorrow is
Thursday.
And we actually have a big cricket presentation
tomorrow. Josh has
tomorrow.
A presentation?
Oh, God.
With Josh.
How's that going, Josh?
The
group meeting.
Well, there's a lot. Listen, this is a sports podcast, so I'm going to relate this to sports here. We know how important team chemistry is when it comes to performing in the clutch, performing with a deadline looming. Or as the fourth quarter approaches, and let me just say that the team chemistry in the cricket presentation group is bloody fantastic. It's tremendous, really. We're all getting along fantastically. We're all getting along fantastically, and there's a lot of cohesiveness right now. But Giannis punched Roberta in the face,
oh
and there's
my
a lot
God.
Of blood, and the blood everywhere.
Roberta
everywhere.
Has no teeth, actually. They've
toothless.
All been removed. After Giannis
so smacked
him out.
Is there going to be a fight between the two?
I'm really looking forward to that presentation tomorrow. It's it's going to be a great
Who
one.
Who would you bet on in a Giannis-Roberta scrap, assuming that Giannis doesn't bring his gun?
Well, Roberta doesn't have any hip sockets, so she could be hard-pressed to fight.
Oh. Plus, she's like 5-0, right? So she's got like a... She's pretty short, so Giannis is kind of crazy. I don't think he cares if it's a girl or a boy. You're probably not.
No, he's punching anyone.
Yeah.
If you're in the way, you're in the way.
Giannis would have no mercy. He just savage her. And then, okay, I'm going to stop there. But
Thursday.
Who do you guys like in the Rookie of the Year conversation in the NHL? We have Michael Grabner, Logan Couture, and Jeff Skinner.
Sure, him.
Who were nominated for the Calder Trophy. And who do you think should win, Jimmy Mangos?
I don't know. That Skinner guy.
Really?
I don't know. I guess it's a guess.
I don't know. I thought Corey Crawford should have been
nominated.
What
about the Sixth Man Award, NBA? Eh? Lamar Odom won that.
Oh, this is a disaster. Wow. Segways out the window. We're going from Roberta getting ravaged to Corey Crawford.
To Lamar Odom.
This has definitely been our best show so far.
And from Lamar Odom, I'll take it too. Her more attractive sister.
That's Khloe Kardashian?
This is Kim Kardashian.
Oh. Okay. Well,
equally as untalented, but 100 pounds less.
What
would
does
like
Khloe do?
You have sexual intercourse with Kim Kardashian?
Sexual intercourse. Oh, God. You know what we are right now? We're talk the talk, is what we are.
We are talk the talk. This is the lowest form of talk radio.
Jimmy, my cousins could be listening to this.
Easy now, Jimmy. George. Yeah, I remember after that show, George went to the washroom and threw up. He just couldn't take it anymore. He was so embarrassed.
Well, at least Jimmy's not taking any cell phone calls from his mom in the middle of our program, so that's always good.
Is that what happened in Talk to Talk?
What happened? Oh, yeah,
I stopped listening after 10 minutes.
That's ridiculous. I've listened 3 or 4 times to the entire program. It's nothing short of genius. Shout-outs to Greg Hood and George.
You like that guy's purse, Jimmy?
Almost as good as Greg's purse.
Almost as good, but not quite.
Greg's is a messenger bag. I've learned to respect Greg. All right, so
we have a minute left. I hate to inform you because we're in the middle of some riveting.
I think we should send it over to Jimmy for Mango's minute two.
Let's play rock paper scissors.
Rock paper scissors.
For $5.
$5.
Do it. Do it right now.
All right, Jimmy.
Right now.
Just one.
Is that Jay Triano?
Jay Triano.
Okay.
Oh yeah. That's all right, Jimmy. That's $5.
No, $5. Eric,
never shook hands. No, kiss my ass.
On that note. Coming up next week, we'll talk even more about the NBA playoffs, the NHL playoffs, and the $5 that Jimmy Mangos now owes Aaron Korolnik.
And some UFC as well.
Of course.
Bullshit.
Maybe we'll have some Adam Martin action on.
Yeah, maybe. If he's not too busy talking to girls.
That's crazy, eh? That's crazy.
Sup, dog?
Sup, dog? What about his button-up shirts? I love those button-up
you
shirts.
Got, like, how many numbers are
Why didn't you dress up like Adam Martin today for your round table, Jimmy?
It didn't come to mind. I don't know why. I'm an idiot, I guess.
I guess.
Agreed.
I think Brunt liked my shirt, though. My Viking shirt.
Who wouldn't? Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week on The Sports Radio Jacks.